This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest is the founder of one of the most popular sites on the internet, Wikipedia. It's an online encyclopedia. Unlike the bound volumes of encyclopedias we grew up with, Wikipedia entries can be written or changed by anyone who visits the website. This openness has led to an enormous number of entries, drawing on the expertise of far more people than any traditional encyclopedia. On the other hand, it's resulted in inaccuracies, which have led many readers to treat entries with some skepticism. The satirical newspaper The Onion recently ran this article: Wikipedia, the online reader-edited encyclopedia, honored the 750th anniversary of American independence on July 25th with a special featured section. And Stephen Colbert has lampooned Wikipedia a few times in his daily essay The Word on the Colbert Report.
Last year, I defined the concept of wikiality. When Wikipedia becomes our most trusted reference source, reality is just what the majority agrees upon. To inaugurate wikiality, I called on you heroes to change Wikipedia entries to say that elephant populations had tripled. You responded, the entries were changed, and Wikipedia crashed. Now, I thought that was the end. But lo and behold, look what that page said just last week. Thanks to the works of Stephen Colbert, the population of elephants has tripled in the past 10 years. We saved the elephant again, America. More proof of what happens when you bring democracy to information.
Despite the criticisms, Wikipedia's founder, Jimmy Wales, is committed to the philosophy behind Wikipedia.
The larger philosophy is we're a core part of the free culture movement, and this is it really comes originally from the free software movement, which people also know of as open source. The basic idea is that for all of our work, people can copy it, modify it, redistribute it. They can do all these things commercially or non-commercially. We're really all about building the Creative Commons, essentially, the base of raw cultural materials that people can build on for whatever other purposes they might have.
And there's no advertising on Wikipedia. Is that by design? You don't want ads?
Yeah, the Wikipedia is owned and operated by the Wikimedia Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization I founded. And we kind of view ourselves as being something like the Red Cross for Information. In other words, we are a charity. We exist on donations from the general public. And, you know, for us, advertising just wouldn't really suit our style. It's not something that we're really interested in pursuing right now.
How many entries would you say Wikipedia has now in English?
In the English Wikipedia, there are just below 1.75 million. So I'm not sure exactly when, but sometime in the next few days, we're going to be at 1.75 million entries. But the interesting thing about that number is that the English Wikipedia is really less than one-third of the total work. There are far more entries in all the different languages of the world. We have more than 125 languages now that have at least 1,000 articles. We've got over 500,000 in German. Several other languages are also quite big. It's really a global movement. There are people all over the world who are building out Wikipedia in their own language.
Now, one of the things that makes Wikipedia just like a little controversial is that it's not written, the entries aren't written necessarily by experts in the field. It isn't edited by a panel of experts. Basically, anybody can write an entry. So how does anybody go about writing an entry?
So the software that we use is called Wiki. And Wiki is a word that comes from a Hawaiian word, wiki-wiki, which means quick. And the idea is quick collaboration. So the basic idea of any wiki is that it's very easy to get involved, very easy to get started. Anyone can edit. And then instead of having gatekeepers preventing people from edit, instead we give the community the tools they need to control the quality. So we have the ability to roll back to previous versions if somebody messes something up. The administrators in the community can block people if they're causing trouble. We can temporarily lock pages, although we don't like to do that very often. And so it's a whole suite of software tools that puts the control of the website really into the hands of the users.
So who has the job of editing the new entries and what is the editing process like? And is there any fact-checking that's part of the editing?
Right. So the editing job is everyone's, basically. Anyone who comes to the website can participate in the editing process of new entries or old entries. It's a very open-ended process. Nothing is ever really considered to be done. The fact-checking that goes on is pretty extensive, but it's done live in real time by the community. So people are always discussing and debating entries, trying to decide if there's a good source for something. If there's a controversial fact or claim, then the community will take it to the discussion page and try to figure out where it comes from and what to do about it. It's really a very vibrant community process.
But don't you have a staff that's partially responsible for this too?
Well, not really. There are seven full-time positions at the foundation, but they're mainly tasked with, we've got a couple of software developers, somebody doing grants. It's financial, legal, technical support. The actual editing, the actual management of the website on a day-to-day basis is really fully in the hands of the volunteer community.
You know, everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, many people who have entries under their name in Wikipedia have like at least one fact or factoid that is wrong. Sometimes it's slightly wrong. Sometimes it's incredibly wrong. So I thought I'd give one that relates to fresh air. As we record this, the entry includes some links, and one of the links is to our executive producer, Danny Miller. Now, if you tap on the link to Danny Miller from the fresh air entry on Wikipedia, you will read this. Danny Miller, when Danny was 10 years old, he murdered an elderly woman by the name of Lizzie Parks, smothering her with a pillow before playing with her deceased body. Now, that's the first thing I saw when I opened the page. Higher up on the page, it explains that Danny Miller is a fictional character in a 2001 novel called Border Crossing by Pat Barker. But anyways, our Danny Miller has nothing to do with this fictional Danny Miller. And
interesting. Yeah. So I can see how that happened.
How did that happen?
One of the things that's interesting about the way our software works is when you're editing an entry, all you have to do to make a link to a different entry is you just enclose any words in square brackets. So if I'm writing about fresh air and I type Danny Miller, well, I just put a couple of brackets around his name, and that automatically creates a link to the article Danny Miller, which may exist somewhere else on the website. In this case, it sounds like there are two Danny Millers. There's a fictional character, and then there's the person from Fresh Air. Normally what happens in a case like this, someone will notice it and they'll realize, hey, this isn't the same person. This fictional character probably doesn't really have much to do with Fresh Air. And they'll create what we call a disambiguation page. So somebody will go in and say, well, we need a page that says Danny Miller may refer to the following possibilities. And normally there would be, well, in a case of a name like Danny Miller, which is a fairly common name, there would be those two, but there might be actually a lot more than that. There might be, some politician Danny Miller or a novelist Danny Miller. So normally there would be a whole set of people that would be a disambiguation link. But that's basically how that happens. The easy linking makes it easy to accidentally link to the wrong one.
So what do you think? Should we fix this ourselves?
You could. It's actually an interesting question when people see something that's an error. But it's on a topic that they actually have some personal interest in, either your own biography or your company or something like this. We don't really have a hard and fast rule that says you absolutely shouldn't, but it's something that we ask people to be really careful about because it's really hard to be objective about yourself or your own show. Something like that, it's clearly obvious. Somebody accidentally made a link to the wrong person, and so you could do a search and find out if the correct Danny Miller has an article in Wikipedia, and if so, you would just change the link to be the right place. But the other thing you could do is just go to the discussion page, click on the discussion page and add a comment at the bottom and say, gee, I don't think the Danny Miller that you're linking to is the right one because that's a fictional character, not a real person.
And who would read that?
The discussion pages are read, anybody can read it, but this is something that the active users of the site are constantly monitoring, talk pages.
So these are self-appointed editors that you're talking about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, within the community, people come and go all the time, but it's a really tight-knit community. We're very much in communication with each other through mailing lists, through the wiki itself, through chat rooms. And so this is the people that I refer to as really the core community. So those would be the people who really are responsible for Wikipedia on a day-to-day basis.
My guest is Jimmy Wales, and he's the founder of Wikipedia, the Internet Encyclopedia. Now, there's like one particularly infamous hoax on Wikipedia, you know, while we're talking about mistakes. And this is with John Siegenthaler, who was the founding editor of USA Today and formerly was an administrative assistant to Bobby Kennedy. And at one point, his bio on Wikipedia said that at one time in his life, he was thought to have been directly involved in the President Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy assassinations.
That's right.
Apparently like a really major not only mistake, a hoax. I mean, somebody put that in knowing that it was a hoax.
Yeah.
Tell us the story of how that was discovered and what happened.
Yeah, so what happened was someone who lives in the same town as John Siegenthaler thought it would be funny to play a prank on his friend, and so he made an edit to Wikipedia to create an article about John Siegenthaler and added this incorrect information. And then he basically forgot about it. He didn't go and clean up after himself after he was done. And so it just sat there. And what was interesting about this particular case is that the article wasn't placed into a category. It wasn't linked from anywhere else. It was kind of off to itself within Wikipedia. So it slipped through some of the normal processes. You know, I'd mentioned earlier the page where people can see the new pages. So it was a new page, but somehow it slipped through the cracks of the new pages patrol. So basically it just sat there for 4 months until Mr. Siegenthaler noticed it, and he called us up. And, you know, I talked to him on the phone. We had it fixed within 10 minutes after he notified me. You know, and then soon after he wrote a really scathing editorial about Wikipedia in USA Today, and it became a big news story. It was, you know, it was a really terrible mistake. You know, the irony of it is, you know, Mr. Siegenthaler himself has been a very staunch defender of the First Amendment, and that's been a big part of his career. And then, of course, he was a member of the Kennedy administration. He was actually a pallbearer, I believe, at Bobby Kennedy's funeral. So, you know, it was quite upsetting to him. The person who put in the information was tracked down and apologized, and it was kind of an embarrassing incident for him. He didn't really mean any harm. He was just some guy who works in an office, you know, goofing around on the internet, which is unfortunate. But since then, we've really tried to focus a lot of attention within the community on these issues of biographies of living people, because these are really the most difficult and potentially problematic articles in Wikipedia. There's a lot of things you can get wrong inadvertently or if some malicious person comes in. So we've really beefed up our policies about that. So the community has become more and more vigilant about policing the biographies, you know, pulling out unsourced information, positive or negative. If it seems a little questionable, people will pull it out much more aggressively than they would in the past to try to deal with that kind of problem so that we can, you know, remain as reliable as we possibly can be.
But there must be a lot that slips through the cracks.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's a really interesting phenomenon. If you describe Wikipedia to people who've never seen it, or if you kind of roll back your mind and imagine you've never seen it before, and you say, well, it's supposed to be an encyclopedia, but it's open to editing by anybody. Anybody can come and change anything at any time. It sounds like a recipe for complete, total disaster. It's a completely insane idea. And yet, most of Wikipedia is kind of okay. You know, it has its problems, but most of it's pretty good. And the community is really vigilant.
I'm going to stop you right there. Uh-huh. It's the most that I find really problematic. I mean, I refer to Wikipedia a lot. And I sometimes feel like, I bet nearly everything in this entry is accurate, but there's going to be, you know, a few things that maybe aren't, and I'm not going to know the difference. And that's what worries me.
Well, that's true, of course, for any kind of source. I mean, if you look at Britannica, there are lots of errors in Britannica. You look in the daily newspaper, there are always going to be errors. So I think we need to be concerned, very much concerned, about the level of accuracy of Wikipedia. But at the same time, I always caution people, don't hold it to an impossible standard. But let's talk about, you know, a possible standard, like how good is it and how effective can it be, and what if something is a little bit wrong? And I think these are very interesting questions. This is something that the community really grapples with on a daily basis. How do we continue the ongoing improvement of quality of Wikipedia? What are the things that we need to change in the software? Where do the real problems arise, and how do we start to deal with those problems? The one thing that we can't do, that we don't want to do, is throw out the baby with the bathwater. What I mean by that is we know that our process works pretty darn good, and it's really sparked this amazing phenomenon of this enormous, very high-quality website. And so as we make changes to policy, as we make changes to the software, we want to be really careful to preserve what's good, but then also find the tools that we need as a community to make the site even better.
Now, the New Yorker had an article on Wikipedia over the summer, and that article reported that in some political campaigns, candidates have changed the Wikipedia entries of their opponents to emphasize like corruption in their opponent's record and things like that. Are you aware of these kind of like Wikipedia battles during political campaigns?
Yeah, it's a relatively minor matter, and we take a kind of a... We try to take a balanced view of it. In other words, on the one hand, we absolutely want to discourage campaigns from coming in and trying to use Wikipedia as a propaganda tool or a battleground for their fights. At the same time, you know, Wikipedia has now become really part of the fabric of our social dialogue, and I think it's important that if people... even politicians have, you know, an interest in seeing a full discussion and debate of the issues. It's just really a matter of when you have a self-interest, when you have a particular participation in something, the better way to interact with the community that's more respectful to the people who are writing the encyclopedia is to go to the discussion page and make your case there rather than get involved in editing yourself. The worst cases are when somebody comes in, they edit something that they have a personal interest in or some kind of stake in, but they try to do so on the sly or surreptitiously, pretending to be someone else. That's clearly unethical, and that's something that we would definitely discourage.
So let me give you an example. If you search George W. Bush, that's an example of an entry where there'd be different points of view of how that entry should read, you know, and describing his life and determining what to emphasize and what to mention, what not to mention at all. Is that an example of an entry that has had a lot of changes to it with people from the left and people from the right wanting their version of his story to be in the entry?
Yes, of course. The George Bush entry is the number one most edited entry at Wikipedia, has been for quite some time. But on a big public entry and something really active like George Bush, then yes, of course, we do have people who come in and occasionally try to make it, you know, incredibly one-sided or something like that.
Tell us how you deal with that. You know, with somebody like the President Bush entry, will you have people with agendas or strong points of view who keep changing it? You say it's the most revised entry. So,
right.
So who finally determines how it's going to read? What's that process?
Well, so the process is there are about 1,000 administrators who are elected from the community. In the English Wikipedia, and every language has their own administrators. But the administrators really keep an eye on things like that. We really don't like it at all if we see, you know, the left and the right battling back and forth, switching an entry back and forth, because that isn't a productive dialogue. What we want to do is push people to say, look, come to the talk page, let's discuss what the issue is. And it turns out that far more people are in agreement with the idea that encyclopedia entry should be neutral than the very tiny number of people who are really trying to very heavily push an agenda and won't settle for anything else.
Would you guess that somebody on Karl Rove's staff reads the president's Wikipedia entry every day to make sure there isn't anything there that they find incorrect?
I'm quite certain. I won't name names, but I've met many politicians who tell me that their staff watches the Wikipedia entry every day.
Really?
I think it's quite common, particularly as we've become very important and well-known, for people to keep an eye on it.
Does the amount of information that you have to deal with and that Wikipedia is responsible for ever give you a really bad headache?
Yeah, and, you know, this is actually one of the things that I think is really interesting, that is the differential impact of Wikipedia in different languages. So in English, I think one of the great values that Wikipedia has for people is that it does give you a concise summary. It's an encyclopedia. So if you really want to know, you know, what happened at Tiananmen Square, you can go and in the space of a few pages, you get the basic information you need instead of being overwhelmed with thousands of essays and articles and so forth. On the other hand, in the developing world, in many of the languages that we're very active in, Wikipedia serves the opposite purpose. People who have no access to information, they really don't have the flood of information that we have, find Wikipedia very useful because, well, for the first time, they've got some information and it's a nice summary. So for me, I think that's a really interesting difference in how Wikipedia can impact different people.
Well, Jimmy Wales, thanks so much for talking with us.
Yeah, well, it's great fun.
Jimmy Wales is the founder of the online encyclopedia Wikipedia.